Hello and welcome back to the Virgin and the Beast podcast. I'm your host, Serena, and today is going to be a solo episode about what helps to build a healthy relationship. So I pulled people on Instagram, which, by the way, we are on Instagram at the Virgin and the Beast podcast. So you can follow us on there if you want to. You can check us out. And sometimes I'll do polls on there. Like for this episode, I asked listeners what they think is key to a healthy relationship. And so I'm going to go through some of their answers, as well as talk about some of the research on this from some profound psychologists and researchers in their field, John and Julie Gottman. And so, yeah, I'll go ahead and get started. We'll dive in. So we'll get started with the responses from Instagram. So take a guess at what you think was the most popular response on what is key to a healthy relationship. Go ahead, think about it. If you guessed communication, you'd be correct. It showed up in more than 85% of the responses. People mentioned communication, open communication, saying that communication is huge. So yeah, that was definitely the most common response, which makes a lot of sense because communication is definitely, I think, key to a healthy relationship, because how can you make sure that you guys are catering to each other's needs and building something that works for both of you and making sure that both people are happy and healthy if you aren't telling each other and talking about it? So yeah, that is number one. Another one, the second most common response was some iteration of compassion. So this came up as compassion, as truly caring for each other and leading with care. But yeah, so compassion and care for each other was also a very common response, which also makes a lot of sense because it's someone that you love and is a very important person in your life and them to you. And so it makes sense that treating each other with care and kindness and making sure that it's a loving environment makes a lot of sense. Some other answers talked about making time to spend with each other, aligning on expectations. Another one is identifying patterns of conflict so you can recognize them and learn how to get out of them. I thought that was a very keen response. And then one of them was very long and beautiful, so I'm just going to read it out for you right now. This listener said, I think communication is by far the most important thing in a relationship. You need to effectively communicate with each other and do it often to ensure that you're on the same page. So much can get lost in communication, so it's crucial to understand your partner's communication style. For example, are they better with their words or do they show emotion through their body language? If you get into a disagreement, does your partner prefer to hash it out right away or do they need some time alone to process? I think it's important to understand these cues to work together and ensure that you're always in sync. So I thought that was a very thorough and great response. So yeah, cheers to that is all I can say. But yeah, so those were some of the responses that people responded with, for lack of a better word. And if you were one of those people, thank you so much for sharing and contributing. And I think people are... They've got their head in the right place. So that's great. And now we can dive even more and even deeper into the subject. And there are literally so many resources on this. If you Google what makes a healthy relationship, there are so many like websites and options that come up from various therapist pages and whatnot. But I'm going to specifically focus on the Gottman Institute and their research and development of their sound relationship house model for long-lasting and healthy relationships. The Gottman Institute builds on the work of clinical psychologists and researchers, Doctors John and Julie Gottman, who are actually married in real life, so that's kind of cool. But their research research spans over 40 years, and they've worked with thousands of couples. And I actually first heard about them when I was studying psychology in undergrad, and they are just very, like, they're world renowned. They're very, like, their research was very, like, I don't know if I'm going to say like fundamental, but like very, like, it came up in my classes, and it's something that's very, like, widely accepted and talked about, and you know, it's important in the field of social psychology and relationship psychology and marriage psychology. And so I thought that it'd be great to kind of look at some of their research and findings. So yeah, we're going to look at some of their stuff, specifically their 9 components of healthy relationships, which is found in their sound relationship house theory. And so basically the way that this is set up is it's literally like the model is like a drawing of an actual house. And in it, there's different levels or different like floors or stories. And it's held up with the two walls being, one wall is trust and one wall is commitment. And so they define trust as, and also a lot of these will be pulled from their website. So a lot of it isn't necessarily my words. I might paraphrase here or there, but most of this is pulled from their website with, which has a lot of resources on it. So I will be linking it in the description. But yeah, they define trust as when a person knows that their partner acts and thinks to maximize that person's best interests and benefits, not just the partner's own interests and benefits. In other words, my partner has my back and is there for me. So trust isn't just knowing that they won't cheat on you, but it's trust in that person and in the relationship that you have. And I kind of interpret this as making sure the relationship is a safe space, and also there's a sense of partnership rather than feeling like it's you against your partner. So that's trust, one of the walls of the house. The other wall is commitment. And of course, there's like the obvious, you know, thing there, which is committing to being in a relationship together. But they also added that it's both working to improve on the relationship when it goes through hard times. And another thing that caught my eye in their description was when they wrote cherishing your partner's positive qualities and nurturing gratitude. So I thought that was interesting and kind of a beautiful take on commitment. It's not just saying, yes, I commit to you, we are partners, and now we are in a relationship together or married or whatever, but it's making sure to, the idea that, you know, seeing the good in your partner and having gratitude for that. I thought that was a beautiful addition to commitment. Just a little disclaimer though, like this isn't relevant to, you know, abusive relationships or like unhealthy relationships. Like sometimes if it is better for you to leave relationships, like this isn't saying that you have to make the relationship that you're in work no matter what. Like this is just, if you truly believe that you are with someone and it has the potential of, or it is a healthy relationship. And of course, any relationship you can build on and make better, but there are some situations, especially in abusive or unhealthy relationships where maybe like, you know, or two people just aren't really compatible with each other, especially when you're younger. I think sometimes you just have to figure these things out. So not saying that, you know, the first person you get into a relationship with, you have to make it work. Of course, you know, we want relationships to work and whatnot, but there are some relationships, especially abusive ones, where it's not worth trying to fix the relationship. It's healthier for you to just get out and either be on your own and or find a healthier partner who supports you. And so this episode is mainly focusing on a relationship where that person is a healthy and good partner and you both are working on building a relationship that's healthier for both of you and has more open communication, etc. But yeah, if a situation relationship is just abusive, not healthy, or you're just not right for each other, like, it is okay to leave that. So just a little disclaimer there. So in this model, those are the two walls, trust and commitment. And then on the first story of the house is what they call build love maps. And so this is the idea of getting to know your partner's inner psychological world. So they define this as like, how well do you know their history, their worries, their stresses, their joys and hopes? And so I think this kind of speaks to the phrase of the intimacy of being understood and kind of getting to know your partner and who they are and what they want, what their needs are, their hopes, this and that. And yeah, because obviously you want to know who you're with, and there's that kind of joy and beauty and just like discovering who someone is. And of course, who someone is can change and evolve over time. And ideally, you're both growing as individuals as you're in the relationship and you're constantly getting to know each other and building love maps. But yeah, that is level number one. Level number two, so the second story of the house, is sharing fondness and admiration. So this is the idea that expressing respect and appreciation for each other will strengthen fondness and admiration. They call it the antidote for contempt, which I thought was really cute and also quite useful. So this is saying things like, I'm proud of you. I like how you do blank. I'm attracted to how you insert quality here. Like, I'm attracted to how kind you are. I'm attracted to how intelligent you are, et cetera, et cetera. And also showing gratitude for that person. So this is kind of a recurring theme coming up about gratitude, but not only thinking about like how you're grateful for your partner, but expressing it to them and, thinking about, you know, expressing gratitude not only for the things that they do and things that they might do for you, but also gratitude for who they are as a person and their qualities. So they have this exercise that you can do where you choose a quality about your partner that you admire and then express gratitude for that quality while also bringing up an example where you notice that quality on display. So you can say, I appreciate that you are blank. I noticed it yesterday when blank. All right, so then the third level or story of the house is turning towards instead of away. So this concept, first I have to describe what's called a bid for connection, which is something, a term that the Gottmans coined, which they define as any attempt from one partner to another for attention, affection, or any other positive connection. So these can be simple ways, like a smile or a wink, or more complex ways, like a request for advice or help. And so the idea is that when a partner makes a bid, you turn towards that bid rather than away. So rather than rejecting it or missing them and ignoring them, you positively respond by engaging in them, responding with either affection, attention, or whatever it is. So if someone's like, hey, can you help me with gardening in the yard? You're like, yes, I'd love to. So there's a study by Gottman that found that couples who were still together after 6 years of marriage turned towards one another in these bids 86% of the time. And couples that had divorced average turning towards each other's bids 33% of the time. So that was obviously quite a profound finding of that study. But I think another thing, the main thing that I think jumps out is like, oh, wow, like turning towards bids really helps with relationship health, especially marriage and kind of long term. But I think another thing that was interesting is, of course, it wasn't turning towards bids 100% of the time. It was 86% of the time. Sometimes it's not realistic or it's not possible that you're going to be able to turn towards a bid 100% of the time. or that you'll even recognize bids all the time, you know? So you don't have to be completely perfect, you know? You don't have to have a 100% A++ track record, but the idea is just to work on turning towards these bids more often. And I think that kind of goes back to the compassion and leading with care thing of, like, you know, trying to be compassionate for your partner. This goes both sides, by the way. Like, as I said earlier, if it's not a healthy relationship, if just one person's doing all the work and all the compassion and trying to make things work and the other isn't, then that's not like a fully, like, balanced, I think, or fair or healthy type of situation. But yeah, it's just the idea of working on recognizing those bids and turning towards them more often. But striving for 100%, but like, if you're not always relationships, accidentally hit one of these cabinets, but relationships aren't always going to be 100% perfect, and that's okay. But yeah, turning towards bids more often is a good thing. The fourth story of the house is called the positive perspective. And so this is about, pulled from their website, about the approach to problem solving and successful repair attempts. So I kind of took this as the idea of assuming positive intent from your partner, which is essentially tied to trust as well. But the website said in one of their blog posts that if the first three levels, which are the ones we just discussed, love maps, sharing fondness and admiration, and turning towards bids, if those aren't at a good place or if they need a lot of work, then the relationship is in danger, or not in danger, but it might fall into the trap of viewing your partner as an antagonist or an opponent rather than a friend. And so one example might be someone giving their partner a genuine compliment, but that person perceiving it to be satire or patronizing. And so they say that to get out of this state, you need to work on the first three levels first in order to get into a space of positive intent and also building that trust. They also, in this section, talked about what they call accepting your partner's influence. And so this was kind of about when you're disagreeing or in conflict, actively searching for common ground rather than insisting on getting your own way. It's about shared power. It's about sharing power and both people having the opportunity to participate in important decision making. And so that's kind of the idea of accepting your partner's influence is, and it has to go both ways. As I said, like, if it's just one person, then that's like a one-sided relationship. But yeah, that takes us to the fifth story of the model, which is manage conflict. And so the idea here is that conflict is often inevitable and it's a natural part of relationships. So the idea is to strive to manage it rather than completely get rid of it and resolve it, because that might just be an unrealistic expectation. The idea is that, you know, that with conflict, you discuss whatever the conflict is so that you may be able to better understand each other, grow from it, and either solve the problem or reach a compromise. And of course, with compromise, it's, you know, both people, compromise comes from both sides. Either in one decision, one problem, they meet each other halfway, or if someone compromises fully on one thing, then the other partner also fully compromises on other things. It's not just one person always, you know, always being the one to compromise all the time, because that's also, as I said, kind of a one-sided relationship. But yeah, it's important that when talking about problems, that both people listen to each other, like actually listen, and talk in a calm manner and are in a calmer state, or at least as calm a state as you can be, rather than in an activated fight or flight mode, because it's hard to listen and to think rationally when you're in activated fight or flight, just because of all the biological things happening in your body. So like taking a break, if you need to take a break, if it gets too heated and you need to just take a moment, taking that time if you need to, There are more specifics in about this and handling conflict in a healthier way. And I'll have that along with some other articles linked in the description. But yeah, this made me think of the respondent who said that identifying patterns of conflict so you can recognize them and learn how to get out of them. I thought that reminded me of that. And I thought that that was a nice tie-in to not just when you have these conflicts to be aware of them and be able to talk about them when you guys aren't like angry about it, you know, I think is important, and brainstorming ways of how to get out of them or to, you know, deal with them in a way that's healthy for you guys when you're not heated is a good way to be able to know how to tackle those things when they do happen. And yeah, aside from now we've gotten past the conflict and now on to the sixth story of the house. This is called Make Life Dreams Come True, which sounds very cute and Disney-esque, but it's basically about creating a safe space that encourages and fosters honesty about hopes and values, aspirations, etc. So making sure that both the partners feel comfortable enough to share those things and also being supportive of their partner and what they want to do. So yeah, I think that's also, I think there's a kind of an intricate dance in relationships between the individual and then also the sharedness of the relationship. And so I think finding a balance between, you know, supporting your partner in their individual passions and dreams, aspirations, etc., while also finding common ground is, as I said, I think it's an intricate dance and something that is, you want to make sure that you can build something beautiful and healthy together, but also respect each other as individuals as well. I don't know if that's all exactly what they were getting into that with that. I just went on a little tangent, but yeah, Make Life Dreams Come True was the title of that level. And then the final level, the top story of the house, the penthouse of this model is called Create Shared Meaning. And so they define this as understand important visions, narratives, myths, and metaphors about the relationship. And so I kind of saw this as the idea of building a life together. And this reminded me of the respondent who said, aligning on expectations. So I think this is about kind of defining what your relationship looks like, what the dynamic of the relationship is like, how you guys function together, and what your shared life looks like. And someone who wrote a blog on this on the Gottman website, I'll link it, was talking about how building a relationship is a lot like the creative process. It can be messy, ever-changing, fun, and beautiful. And I thought that was a really, really interesting concept to kind of, because I don't think we usually think about relationships being tied to creativity. But I thought that was a really, really cool concept. So yeah, that was the final level was create shared meaning. And yeah, that is the sound relationship house model from the Gottman Institute. So yeah, hopefully there are some things in there that either resonated with you or you can learn from. I know I learned a lot from the research for this episode. Yeah, I hope you all have healthy relationships or can work towards those. Or if you're single or in the early stages of a relationship and dating, then you can use these as like a solid foundation and to kind of have in your toolbox as you move forward. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Maybe if you liked it, you could share it with your partner and use it as kind of a springboard for a discussion or reflection on your relationship, how to deepen it. Maybe if you can share it with someone that you're just started seeing, if you're kind of dating and you guys want to talk about kind of where you see your relationship going or what are relationship values to each of you. Or you can share it with a friend who you think would find it useful. Yeah, that's that. Thanks for listening and keep on buzzing.